And also, because I speak for the Chinese as well as the Americans, and this cafe is open globally, by the way, the Moose Turd Cafe, and I want to welcome whoever is calling to the program. I hope it's Mike Diesel, but hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, buddy. I was about to start calling the area hospitals, but I didn't. You know, maybe you were up late. Was there a baseball game, you know?
No baseball game. I mean, there might have been a the World Series starts, I think, tonight. No, yeah. I just had some insomnia again last night.
I woke up at 2 o'clock myself, 2:30.
I went to bed at midnight and woke up at 3, and then I went back to bed. And then, of course, I have a cat.
The cats need to be disciplined at times, don't you think?
Well, you know, I realized it would have been more appropriate to name Trip Snooze, because I would have hit snooze a lot.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I
like that. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. You got me on that one.
I just shove him. I just shove him. You know, he kind of meows really loud on the end of the bed, and then he tries to wake one of us.
Right.
Now, occasionally on some nights, she will fall asleep in the chair, and that's a hell of a lot easier on me, but harder on her. Because he will immediately, since she's accessible, he'll wake her up. Now, some mornings, if he can't wake her up, he'll come upstairs. He lobbies both of us.
Yeah, how about a cat?
Between the hours of 4 a.m. and 5:30 a.m., he's constantly.
Yeah. I have a bowl downstairs. Where's the food?
Mm-hmm.
You know, now, one of our cats likes to crawl up on top of Carol's head and put her claws into Carol's scalp, give it a little massage.
Yeah, it's kneading. Yeah, they need.
Like, oh, man, you know, oh, God.
Mm-hmm. What?
That's right. Yeah, right. Oh, yes.
Checking to see if you were awake, human. It's my thing. Hey, look at me.
Yeah.
I'm over here doing my thing.
I know.
I'm a kitty cat.
Yeah, man.
Aren't I adorable? No!
Well, anyway, one of my cats, you know, is, you know, mostly does all of, he doesn't use the cat boxes. I thank God he goes outside. Okay, because we have a cat door.
Ours tries to use the cat boxes in the basement, but a lot of times they miss.
Yeah, see, that's the thing about, you know, if I indoor cat, I have a real hard time with that. You know, I had bad experiences in the 60s and 70s with friends that had cats, and I banned cat boxes from the house, you know, pretty much for 25 years, you know, so.
Well, I don't blame you, and their previous sibling, Lexi, who passed away, God rest her soul, she had some issues. As she got older, she started, we have this double water bowl on the mid-level. You see our house.
Sure, yeah.
So you come in, if you look to the right where that island is, where the countertop is, just there's a double bowl for everybody, for the cats and the dogs. You know, and it's lifted up because for the dogs, you don't want a dog crouching over to drink its water. That creates a lot of, people don't realize over a long period of time, that creates a lot of physical pain for the dog. So if it's up in the air, it's fine. But the Lexi used to she used to jump up on it and use it as a toilet.
Oh, God.
Yeah, she used to urinate in the...
Oh, Lord, help us.
Yeah, yellow water.
Yeah, and so now you know the source of our morning fruit juice at the Moose Turd Cafe, and I welcome you guys to...
Everybody, we're a little bit late. It's 7 after the hour.
You know, that condiment on your tables, known as catsup, is, in fact... our formal lovable pets that have been, reduced to a pleasant sauce, you know, by, you know, The recipes known only to Dr. Lecter.
Yeah. That's got to be cooked down.
Yes, cooked down. So anyway, if you you know, are interested in the spirit of dead cats, you know, or you know, including flat ones, you know, you might as well come on into the cafe and have a little bit of our spiced coffee.
Yeah, you're welcome, everybody.
That's right. You know.
I was an original Dusty Food philosopher, Mr. Jack Case, host of the Rooster Cafe. We're a little after 7 a.m. on October. It's Tuesday. I don't even know what the date is.
It's the 24th.
And not to be confused with Vin Diesel, we have Vin Diesel. One of them is very strong, and the other one can act. All right, everybody.
There you go. I like that one, man. All right, so Trump has just made the Republican tax bill unaffordable. Turns out they were going to pay for their tax cuts by taxing your 401k. The
majority of the people that voted for were going to pay for.
Through the tax cut for the rich, I'm going to take it out of your 401k.
Yeah.
I mean, plus, I'm going to, you know, refuse to fund health care and everything, you know, all the other garbage, you know. And so, I mean, I think this is beautiful. This is just beautiful. Of course, Trump is lying. In the end, he'll give up everything in order to pass a tax bill. Because he wants to legislate, but he doesn't give a shit what it says.
No.
So this is a complete, I mean, if by the way, you out there, if you hold on, the Trump's going to defend my 401k. No, he's not.
By the way, this is a negotiation for a BR. Okay? You and I both know a BR, if you break it down, in the Senate, what was passed in the Senate is not tax policy. It is a continuing budget resolution.
Yeah, right. I know, right.
That's this goes back and forth. For this blowhard thinks he can get this done before Christmas. That's bullshit. Okay? Again.
Yeah.
Because it's got to go to the House. The House has got to wrangle their version of it. Then they got to go to committee. And then the committee, both committees have to meet together and they have to have a quorum. And then the quorum goes for another 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we're headed into unknown territory.
Even then, the impact on the tax code, you wouldn't see any impact on the tax code for another 3 years. So,
Yeah.
It's a very time-consuming, frustrating process for everyone involved. So
it's a pile of shit. Okay. I mean, this the tax
and you know
cut.
What? And you know what that pile of shit served on? From what I understand.
What?
Shit bread.
Shit bread. What's a new kind of bread?
Shit bread.
Right.
Everybody talks about the shit sandwich. They don't ever talk about the bread, okay?
Trump all bread. Right. You can wipe your ass with it.
Boy, talk about recycling.
We don't have to worry. You don't have to cut down trees anymore. You know, loaf. You know, a loaf for a loaf. Come on, man. Pinch a loaf into a loaf.
Congratulations to the football team in Washington who demonstrated that they still don't have the capability to play professional football last night.
I don't follow that team.
I know. I'm just saying they lost. So.
You know, I was disgusted by the owner's reaction to the whole Redskin thing, and I'm just, you know, to hell with it. You know, so.
I know it's hard for me to sit and watch, too. The one thing that was so glaring was here you have a former professional coach who's a very popular broadcaster on the Monday Night Broadcast, Mr. Gruden, John Gruden, and his brother, who is coaching the team in Washington. And he's announcing, you know, he's the color commentator on ESPN for Monday Night Football. And the quarterback for the Eagles makes this fantastic play as he escapes from this what should have been a sack. You know, it was like 8 yards. It was third and eight. It was 8 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and they all got him and looked like, oh, he's going to get. And he snuck out, and he made the first down. And the thing is every time they showed it, there was a glaring display. Not just one, two, just obvious holding calls that were not called.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing that makes me go, not one of the announcers said anything about it. We have gotten to a level where cheating is okay.
It is okay.
It just wasn't even mentioned. It was...
It is
like,
okay.
Yeah, okay, I give the kid a lot of credit for escaping and making a great play, but there's a reason why he made that great play. Two of his guys were holding two of the Washington guys, and it's pretty painfully obvious every time you see them run it back. And they ran it back four or five freaking times. And not one time did Mr. Gruden, the supposed genius of football, say anything about the holding.
That's because it's a conspiracy. They're all getting paid off.
I don't know.
It's got to be a conspiracy.
I always see that. I think, like I told you, I always see that. And I think somewhere behind the scenes, Vince McMahon is like...
Hey, by the way, okay. Now, look. I don't usually, you know, invoke Megyn Kelly, okay? Because
please don't this time either.
However, I have
that name should not be mentioned on our airways. I'm sorry, it shouldn't.
Okay, but nonetheless.
None the more.
I have to mention one thing. Because she has a quote that to me is does raise a very interesting question. You know, she says, you know, O.J. Simpson was ordered to pay $33 million because he allegedly murdered Ron and Goldman and Nicole. What's her name?
Nicole Brown.
Yeah. Okay. And Nicole Brown. And yet, Mr. O'Reilly has played a jaw-dropping $32 million sum to settle a harassment suit. She asks, I wonder what he did to her to justify that number. And this is a suitable subject for a Moose Turd Cafe special. I believe that you know, we're looking at the kind of thing where Harvey Weinstein.
We'll do it live. We'll do it live. We'll do it live.
Right. You know, I want
channeling my inner Bill O'Reilly. I'm sorry.
You know, I want to put my mouth on your butthole, kind of on film. And you know, if you don't let me do this, you're going to die. You're going to lose your job. I mean, is that a $32 million thing?
Can I please just get through a cup of coffee before you start describing graphic sexual acts between people that...
Bill O'Reilly, I'm trying to imagine a $32 million sex act.
Once again, today's worst person in the world.
He was right about that, boy, about O'Reilly, man.
That's the thing, is you don't see any sexual harassment claims against Keith Olbermann, but you do see a lot of people going, well, he's kind of an asshole.
Well, you know, I'm one of those people that has said that, but I mean, nonetheless, he
also happens to be one of the smartest guys on the planet.
He was outraged at the right things, you know, so.
Sure.
I don't know. Sure. I thought the show was a little bit, you know, tough to get into.
Oh, you're just jealous.
Sure I am. I mean, right. Jealousy is one of the big motivators, you know. It might even be a source of innovation, you know. I'm so jealous of him, I'm going to, you know, or her.
I will make my own program with my own facts, and I will tell you right now, sitting next to me on a stool is an alien from Venus.
Yeah, right.
They didn't live on top of Venus. He lived inside of Venus.
Right.
Okay.
Turns out, are there any billionaires on Venus? I don't think so.
His name? Well, I can't even really pronounce it. It's... That's his name.
Right. That's a Venetian name. You know, that's a very common Venetian name. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
It's Igmati.
Sure, that's his brother. Yeah, okay.
Well, which one? Yeah, right.
I know, right. He's part of a hive.
He's kind of an arachnid.
He's part of a hive.
Mixed with a lizard.
You know, now if U.S. society was like a hive being, then, you know, in order to solve the problems we got, we'd have to cut off our legs. maybe our half of our head.
What?
You know, look, we're trying to.
I don't know where this went. What? What happened? What tests have happened? As they always say on the Stephanie Miller show, because it's mimicking something that Donald Trump said in one of his speeches. He actually did say something has have happened. Something that got to be did.
Something that's got to be did?
Yeah.
I like that. I like the mix up of tenses.
Something has happened.
One of the great features of Alien.
Puerto Rico.
Are you
He said it like that. He said it in a speech. He was mocking the name Puerto Rico, and he said he tried to say it in a Hispanic accent, but he botched it, and he was like,
"He's such an ass! What an ass! This guy is a jackass." I mean, how this happened to us? I'm sure we deserve it. You know, just because, but karma it comes back ways. And apparently, we get Trump.
Case, there's a lot of people out there who don't deserve it.
I know, but I don't know. You know, somehow we're all in this together, and collectively we did something, you know. I mean, or we failed to do something that has wrought this, offense.
You'll have nothing, sir!
We've offended God. We have offended God.
Good day, sir!
I know, but
what you just said quite possibly is the dumbest thing anyone has ever said. In fact, everyone within the sound of my voice and in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and God have mercy on your soul.
Who's that from?
I think that's from an Adam Sandler movie.
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, right. Well, okay. I mean, you know, I like Adam Sandler. Of the various buffoon comedians, I like him the best, I think. I like him.
I liked Adam Sandler a long time ago until he started phoning it in for movies. Until he started trying to make as many movies as he could out of Hawaii.
Take his family to Hawaii. Yeah, right. Well, okay. I didn't the later stuff, but I mean, I
was a couple of
his movies. I thought they were funny.
He was a very, very successful comedian, and actually, it was very funny because one of the who's the heavier set kid that was in the Wall Street movie with Leonardo DiCaprio.
I don't know.
Really good actor. He actually was. I think he won the Academy Award. He was in the movie with him, with Adam Sandler, and he was actually very funny, and it showed the different dynamics between comedians, and that's why I was a big fan of the movie.
Okay.
Well. Showed how he and Seth Rogen were good buddies, and Seth Rogen wrote a bunch of stuff for him, and he went on to leave Seth Rogen behind and thought he could do, all of this was, he got all this fame and fortune, and he thought he could do it all on his own, and he found out that the writing part of it's very difficult. And he had to kind of purge everything and come back to Seth Rogen and sit down and start their relationship writing again.
By the way, I don't want to ruin that, that moment there, but I have to say something about John P. Kelly.
Sorry. I just threw up a little bit.
And then what I have to say is this. The Trump administration will turn every one of its members and supporters into a liar. Just like it did John P. Kelly.
Liar, liar! Pants on fire!
Yeah.
You, sir, are a liar!
If you take a job with Trump, You will be a liar. I don't care what your background is. I don't care, you know, what, you know, humiliation. You will be compelled to lie for him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because he is, you know, believes in lies as a method of communication, as a chief method of communication.
That's one of the things David K. Johnston keeps saying over and over again. If you don't understand what's going on, if you're confused by it, don't be, because this is the guy he's been this guy his entire life. He creates an alternative reality for himself that's acceptable to him. And he doesn't give a shit what anybody else says. He doesn't care about facts. He doesn't care about anything. He will speak as if that reality is actual reality. Yeah. And we all know it's not.
Yeah, it's just he's making up the narratives every day, you know. So, I mean, and so if you're going to work for him, you're going to have to dishonor the death of your own son with lies.
Yeah,
imagine. I can't even go there.
Not even that. Not even above and beyond that. Let's 4 weeks. It's not as if that organization, the administration, wasn't given the proper paperwork within the 2-day period that the military generally was actually given to them in a day and a half by General Mattis, saying, look, this is what happened and you guys need to be aware of it, and I'm going to give a press conference and this is what I'm going to say and blah, blah, blah. And it turns out the information coming out of Niger is that this unit that went in to talk with these village elders was set up. This was a village that was sympathetic to ISIS fighters, okay?
Yeah.
And those kids were made to stay longer so that they could set up so the ISIS fighters in that area could set up the ambush. And something tells me, based on the information I've seen and I've read, that they were ambushed, and LeDavid was, you know, they got out of their vehicles, hunkered down, and were returned fire. And when they were overwhelmed, they jumped back in their vehicles to go the other way. And I think LeDavid may have stayed behind to provide cover for his teammates, and so they could get a good head start. And he would, I think the idea was he would catch up with them, but then they were boxed in fire. You know, they knew that, then I guess the mortar fire on the other side. They set them up deliberately that way.
So it was an ambush.
Yeah, because ISIS knew the terrain, so they had them boxed in. So, you know, they left one area to go to another area, and that area was also besieged with ISIS fighters who took their lives.
Well, we know that Trump doesn't like, he doesn't like people to get captured, and he obviously doesn't like soldiers to get killed. Am I going too far?
The problem is when you assume everything you touch turns to gold, and you're always right, this is somehow, some way wrong. Rather than just being honest, rather than just being a compassionate human being, that phone call, as many have said, could have been handled by another phone call immediately after her viewing, you know, the casket, and saying, I apologize if I said anything that was misunderstood. I appreciate and I want to thank you, and thank you for your husband's service. He will be missed, and I'm awfully sorry that this happened. And I, you know, may God bless you and keep you. And that's really all that needs to be said here. One more phone call, and he wouldn't do it.
No.
So this entire thing, everything that comes out of this continues to say more about him than it does about anything
else. Oh, sure. Yeah, right. I mean, we're there with this. It's just, you know, I mean, the question, the only really interesting question is the paralysis of the Congress in getting rid of him. You know, I mean, are there acceptance of this sort of rule? Okay, I mean,
this is what This is what we've been talking about for years. Now, I am not going to let anybody off the hook, but 2021's coming, and it's the census, and the last time this happened, the Republican machine dominated the gerrymandering rules.
Yeah, and they will now, it looks like.
Well, Eric Holder and our former president, Barack Obama, are working on attempting to fix gerrymandering. They have raised $10 million so far to try to thwart this effort and ensure that this is fair. I'm not going to let the Democrats off the hook because they used it to dominate certain areas. What they are saying is, let's level the playing field. Let us actually see, instead of representatives picking voters, how about the voters have a chance to pick the representative? How about that? How about the voters get an opportunity to actually see the narrative? Because the more you do this bullshit, the more you're going to see apathy, the more you're going to see lack of participation in our voting system, because you've screwed everyone. If people continue to hear that the voting system's rigged, what chance do they have to take a day off of work to attempt to go to the polls, stand in line, especially if they're a minority voter in a red state, and make sure that they have their IDs, go through the line, be checked, and then go through the line to vote? Which apparently nowadays takes 7 to 12 hours.
Yeah.
You know, it's ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
Unless you are someone who thinks that democracy is failing and a billionaire dictatorship would be preferable.
No, well, that's what we're saying. That is certainly, and you know, you said an interesting thing about them not doing anything because they don't care.
I mean, I heard this morning on NPR that who's that horse's ass that they have
Which one?
Oh, the one that does Morning Edition sometimes. He's such a shithead. God, you know, he's like Eric Everside. Remember him? Mm. Eric Severide from years ago. You know, he's just splits. He's one of these, you know, people that would split, you know, Solomon's baby in half all over the place. You know, you can't. Mm. And so he's doing this, you know, namby-pamby interview this morning about, well, gee, you know, do you think the president really is going to defend all these middle-class voters? Do you think he's going to do that? Oh, he might, yes. It looks like he's going to stand up for them.
Gee willikers.
Yeah, gee willikers.
Golly, I mean, come on. We got to work together on screwing everyone.
Yeah, God. You know, and now they're going to... And this whole thing is that, I mean, you know, we've wrecked the no one can get a defined benefit pension anymore because the financial industry says, well, geez, you'd have to
fund. We should have that money. That should be our money.
That should have our money. We need to have, bank accounts.
I want to cash in on their insurance policy, too. I want that, too. I want everything. I want it all.
I want everything in the financial sector. I don't want to have, you know. So now, you know, you're not even going to get.
I'm a man.
And now you're not going to even get to shelter your damn retirement money, you know, because they're going to tax it.
This is Alex Jones, and I'm a man. I have babies.
You should be imprisoned.
I'm a man.
Why are you even alive?
Paul's a conspiracy theory in the deep state. Obama's running the deep state, and everybody knows it.
I hope so. I hope he's running you right into the ocean, pal.
Yeah.
I wish he was.
If Obama was running the deep state, we wouldn't have this big plopping, steaming pile of shit as a taxpayer.
I know. But I don't think the deep state is up to what once was, maybe. used to be tough, like, but now...
It's like you're looking at the deep state going, step it up.
Yeah, you got pushed over by, a guy selling, you know, rotten pumpkins for Halloween.
Well, that's because he is a rotten pumpkin.
Man, how many you think monster costumes are going to be
I don't
care. Orange hair, orange-haired, you know.
I don't even, Halloween's not a big deal to me, never has been.
Well, you know, I want to tell you, in certain areas, communities, you can see where it's like really big, right? I mean, everybody goes out. And then other places, you know.
Yeah.
Well, we're probably going to be getting kids in our at our door. So do you have candy?
We don't. We don't ever. We don't ever have kids. They all go downtown to the Shepherdstown thing.
Oh, nobody goes around the, nobody goes around the neighborhood?
Nobody goes door to door here. No. No. Generally, everyone just kind of shuts their...
What would you think if I went door-to-door dressed in a giant diaper?
Well, you'd need your binky and your blanket, too.
How about if I had a shotgun with me? Me, a giant diaper, and a shotgun. Hi, trick or treat. You don't look like a kid. Yeah, I am. I'm 9 years old.
I'm 9 years old. This is my daddy's gun. My daddy said I could take it out of the gun rack as long as I just put one bullet in it.
Remember the cartoon Baby Huey?
Yes.
I used to love Baby Huey. That was Baby Huey and Tweety Bird and Sylvester were about my that's the top of the line for me.
Fuck it.
Yeah, that's right. You know.
I admittedly liked Foghorn Leghorn until I figured it out longer in my older years that it was a very, very racist accent.
Oh, it was? Oh, okay. Well, see, there you go. Raised a little white kid in a white community. Half the time, you don't even know what you're being taught, you know, so.
It's just a... No, I mean...
Anyway, I liked...
The rest of white kid that played a lot of sports and liked to bang his head into things. Sure.
I had a cousin that told me that a good line to pick up girls was, you know, to tell them that I thought I saw a booty tat.
I did throw a putty cat.
I actually tried that when I got a couple of years later.
Wow,
and it worked.
Really?
And it worked.
Wow, you.
It worked.
We're depraved.
Oh man, you know, we fell through the depravity, layer there. A long time ago.
My whole thing was I have to figure out how to get rid of these zits before I can talk to a girl. So.
Yeah,
very self-conscious of all these blackheads and bumps all over my face. And
yeah. Oh God. Yes. You know. Right. I mean, it's like if what you could wear. You know. I mean, the problem is. I mean, Halloween's coming up, and you got the choices of a number of masks. Actually, I think you and I should go door to door dressed as priests.
Yeah, hold on a minute, I'll tell you what.
Oh, Governor Justice. Are you going to go Halloween trick-or-treating there, Governor Justice?
Well, I sure as heck, by God, am. I'm going to go out. My kid, my boy, tells me I should go dressed as Eric Cartman the senior years.
What? Uh-oh. The governor died again. God,
I gotta choke down this here sausage gravy.
Hold did Trump send you his sausage to suck on there?
I'm terribly offended by that. I'm leaving now. Hold on. I gotta...
good Lord, the camel's in the tent. Let's get the hell out. There's a camel in the tent.
That guy, yeah, he just doesn't stay long, and he never really says anything meaningful.
No, he's a waste of time. I mean, yeah. By the way, Blankenship's appeal to the Supreme Court has been rejected.
Yes, it has, despite Neil Gorsuch's best efforts.
Yeah, Neil Gorsuch. Come on. I'm sorry. you know, we're going to have to, you know, Bernie's right, man. I mean, you're going to have a revolution of some kind, because you're going to have to do more than just, you got to scoot these dudes out. I'm sorry. You know, we got to change the shift. And Gorsuch, I know we told you it was a lifetime appointment, but Tony Two-Toes to explain it to you.
Listen, Neil, it's not us, it's you. It's really not us, it's definitely you. You see that? That's a door.
Now you see, what's your guy, Tony? So, Neil, you know, I mean, I know you got a lifetime appointment, but...
It's not his name. You're not going to know his name because he's not going to tell you.
Okay,
His friend's name is Tony Two-Toes.
Oh, his friend's name is Tony Two-Toes.
Yeah, and he... I'm pretty sure, from what I can gather, Tony Two-Toes is actually the driver.
I see.
That guy doesn't drive anywhere. He's, you know, a car picks him up.
Yeah, no, I got you.
To where he has to go, and he goes and does his job, and he gets back in the car, and he scurries away, and no one ever knows he was there. So, you know, if he's on a plane, it's the same thing.
Oh, man.
And I'm pretty sure Tony Two-Toes has got his pilot's license as well.
So Larry Summers yesterday had an interesting, I don't know, op-ed in the New York Times. And he said, you know, that he had served under six presidents appointed chairman of the economic advisors. You know, every president has an economic council, and then they appoint a chairman of some kind based on their political affiliation, usually.
Chairperson.
Good chairperson, yeah. You know, and that Summers had been on the Council of Economic Advisors under six presidents, Republicans and Democrats, and had been the chair of it under Obama, as well as having been Treasury Secretary at one point.
I think I'm pretty familiar with,
you know, Larry Summers. That's the people, you know, and yeah. Everybody who knows Larry, you know, in the economics profession knows that he's a genius, and he is.
Yeah.
You know,
very much understands the inner workings of everything.
Well, he's
economically speaking, I'm talking about government effectively.
It's more than that, pal. This is a guy who can speak without notes in complete paragraphs. Completely, you know, coherent. You know, I mean, that guy can deliver a 40-minute speech as if it had been written out. I mean, it's never extemporaneous. You know, and it is, but it isn't. I mean, it's like he's one of those guys that can do that kind of thing, right? He's got eidetic memory.
Whole pages of dialogue coming out of his mouth.
Oh, he could.
Out of his mouth.
Smart guy.
With a great deal of ease. And actually, I think probably some pretty effective forethought as well.
And he is also self-critical. I mean, in other words, yes, he was one of the authors of the loosening up of the investment rules that, which was mainly done in response to trying to make the high-tech boom bigger, okay?
Right.
But got out of hand and blew up and basically crashed, okay? And then led into this hyper thing. And he's the one of the guys that said, you know, hey, you know, I mean, that was an unintended consequence, and it should be fixed. All right. Now he has different ideas about how to fix it, but the point is, he came out yesterday and he says there has never been a professional economist who has deliberately put forward an estimate of the amount of jobs created by tax cuts that has put a forward what the current guy named Hassard is doing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he says that the number of alleged jobs created, you know, is at least four times higher than any statistical model would ever justify.
Right.
Under the best circumstances.
Right. Well, he also back in the day, he said something interesting. I think it was 2012 or 11, where he said he felt as if maybe the stimulus package certainly was not big enough. They were secretly in meetings talking about a second stimulus package.
Oh, he very much urged that,
And they just shut it down. They said that's not gonna.
No, because politically,
but the second one was quite specifically geared at two things. One, it was geared at lower income poor people and lower middle class people and infrastructure. Those were your, you know.
Yeah.
These people really got screwed. Let's try to do something, you know, because they're going to put this, they're going to take this money and put it right back in the economy. It's going to help.
So they chose to do healthcare instead. Obama chose healthcare. I mean, he knew he only had, you know, one shot probably at it, given the congressional situation, even though they had a majority for a while. And so he went with the healthcare instead of the second stimulus. Was he right? See, that's an interesting historical question that I don't know.
Well,
we don't know the answer to yet.
The thing is as we've seen, despite all of their best efforts, people online are pushing the registration like nobody's business, and the numbers have increased again. The numbers have increased. The amount of people without insurance has gone down precipitously. Now, the big problem is you're pulling the funding to the states. So now you're giving the insurance company an opportunity to turn right around and jack those rates up again.
Well, that's what's going to happen under Trump, you know, for sure. I think the Obamacare, especially the exchanges, are highly vulnerable to being compromised by, you know, kind of like insurance company strikes, I will call them. Okay, really, you know, they just lock up the capital, like in these poor states, especially where there's only, you know, usually one provider.
Right.
And
can you say West Virginia?
Yeah, like Highgate Blue Cross Blue Shield. It's the only provider in the exchange.
Highmark.
I'm sorry. Highmark.
And they usually, more often, not to disparage any company, but they miss the mark so often. I know it's.
Oh, of course.
High,
I mean.
I know it's a high mark, but very much like Frontier. Everyone likes to call them buffering.
Well, and they're so heavily subsidized in West Virginia. That's why they're doing it, right? Because,
right.
I mean,
you guys come in here, we'll guarantee you.
Well, there's no other way. How are you going to get a private insurance company to insure a sick old state?
Now we can't guarantee that money. You know that money we said you guys were going to make? It's not going to happen.
Well, if that doesn't happen, they'll get out of the market, or they'll jack the prices up huge.
Oh yeah,
okay,
our medicines.
You know, I mean, you can't do state by state. Certainly not in poor small states. There's not enough financial base to do the level of health care that you would need to do. I mean, frankly, you couldn't do it. You'd have to lay down a considerably increased tax rate to do it, and there's nobody in West Virginia to tax.
No.
I mean, there's, what, 100 families. That's about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, and they're not as rich. I mean, compared to Connecticut or, you know, God, who knows, other places, they're not rich anyway. You know, so, we have one, our only billionaire is our governor.
Well, an hour and a half away or 2 hours away, look at the money that's concentrated in Fairfax County, Virginia.
Oh my God! Yeah. By the way,
it's one of the wealthiest counties in the United States.
So it looks like the Virginia race, it's for governor, right?
Yep.
Is one of the most important, probably the most important thing happening, actually. Because if Gillespie wins that one, and Virginia, you know, can't turn around against the Trump thing, that's bad news. I mean, and especially,
well,
but Northern Virginia. But I think the president was down there.
Numbers that are being thrown around, but I mean, I try to. You know, Nate Silver's a pretty good.
He's had some problems, but yes.
And he's not projecting anything, but you know, you see a lot of numbers being thrown around, and I think as of yesterday, Ralph Northam was up 12 points. So my brother, my younger brother, is a pretty good indication of what, you know, I check with him. He lives in Culpeper. And one of the things he said that's kind of glaring is, look, you know, the participation wasn't as high as they hoped it would be, and the Democrats still won. Now, let's take that and juxtapose it with Virginia has the highest number of young applicants to run in their state houses on the Democratic side that they've had in the last 50 years. The DNC is pouring money into the state of Virginia.
Well, they have to. They're right to do that.
More so than the GOP. Now, the GOP's big thing is running these fear ads, you know, from Ed Gillespie about MS-13.
Yeah, that was, give me a break.
It's the same old thing. It's, you know, it's about, you know.
Yeah, what, yeah, the black people gangs.
Yeah.
You know, it's black people.
We're all gonna die! Run! They're right around the corner, man. Yeah. It's the same old thing, and the thing is apparently I didn't see the debate, but apparently a lot of folks said that Ralph Northam did a very nice job debating Gillespie. And let's keep in mind who Ed Gillespie is. He was a lobbyist for Enron. Okay, enough said. Okay.
And former chair of the Republican Party under Bush, I think. You know.
Yeah.
Well, God knows. I mean, let's hope that the wheels are turning and it can be a shift.
Well, there's been some rural surprises in Virginia where folks aren't so inclined to immediately throw their vote to the Republicans. They had been for years. And in some cases, they're not.
Well, Northern Virginia has got a huge, you know, like techie.
Well, that's turned very blue.
Yeah, so they're I think, and it's got a large immigrant population as well, basically. Mm-hmm. You know,
and it's just got a large population. It's a concentrated large population. It's very.
Yeah.
In many ways, it's similar to what you see in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia.
Right.
The same.
So we're just we can only hope that that will be reflected in the outcome somehow.
Right.
Because if it, I mean, I think that would be a big setback. Okay, for the Republicans. I'm weighing how much, if at all, to get involved with the Manchin campaign. Okay. I feel bad about sitting it out, since I'm pretty sure that they're going to, you know, mount
Morrissey.
You know, yeah, I think we got to get rid of him and those guys. I mean, so I'm. But, you know, it's like, you know, one of the reasons I'm in the cafe here in the morning is so that if I swallow a live frog, nothing worse will happen the rest of the day. And
well,
so I could work with Chip Manchin.
I that is not what our moniker says. You have to stop that nonsense and move on to a moose turd.
I know. I have to eat one, and then I have to, okay.
The frog is an option, okay? It's an option, but it's not something we should advocate for, because essentially what we're doing here in this cafe is recycling, okay?
Yeah, okay, we are environmentally...
I feel bad for the frogs because they're part of the ecosystem and they've been under a great deal of attack and stress.
And some of them have six legs, mm-hmm. and they're both sexes.
Yes.
You know what happened on Jurassic Park?
Yes, yeah, very... very much like some Republican pundits.
Oh, God. You know, I'm just...
But enough about Ann Coulter. Here's the thing.
Why the long face?
Hey, I thought you were supposed to be a horse's ass. You're a horse's face.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I'm just the northbound side. I can show you the southbound side if you want to.
No! No! Okay, here's a question. Who would you rather see naked, Ann Coulter or Jim Justice? All right.
Ann Coulter. I know, but I'm sorry. Jim Justice naked is really... I'm going to call the refuse department.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Look, there's a blob. The blob that came from space is on the side of the road.
I believe I can go on record, Mr. King.
Oh, a man skilled in these matters, Dr. Lecter.
I overheard your conversation with your cohort there, Mr. King.
Yes, right.
And I can safely say that I would enjoy seeing that man naked because I have very, very sharp knives.
God, yes. He wouldn't even notice it until he was a pat of butter.
Half my back is missing.
Jesus. Well, Dr. Lecter is removing parts of you, Governor. I'm sorry. You could do without much. And so, and there are so many hungry people in the world that Dr. Lecter...
I just heard an iron skillet go...
Right.
Woo! That sounded like compound butter.
I know. Gave you the hot seat, huh? Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
That's right. So what atrocity may happen today? We don't know.
Well, it depends. You know? I haven't had a chance to. I'm not on Twitter anymore. I don't go on Twitter. I refuse to. I do see people repost tweets from the Tangerine Tyrant, and I read them on Facebook. And
is he still attacking that widow, war widow? You know?
He was, I know, as of yesterday, I think.
Yeah.
And he refused to answer any questions about anything.
Well, of course. Yeah. You know, I've already, you know, come on. I'm communicating at 3 o'clock in the morning every morning.
Anus,
you know, that's right. You know, the question is now, does he have porn on his personal computer?
I don't know.
See, I'm thinking he does.
I don't think he has a personal computer. I think he uses his phone. I don't think he has access to a laptop or anything else.
I mean, I'm not sure a real woman could satisfy Donald Trump. See,
There's a certain deviance there that I don't know is you know, I mean, it might be masochistic, sadomasochistic. I don't know, but
yeah,
there's certainly some creepy things all wrapped up into
right
big bag of orange shit.
Oh, absolutely, yes. I wonder, you know, I mean, at the I mean, that's the interesting thing. That's when you find out, like, for example, these guys like Bill O'Reilly's $32-33 million settlement over a sexual harassment claim. $32 million.
I once saw Bill O'Reilly in the middle of the street in New York, and I said, okie doke.
I don't know.
Who is that?
That was the Reverend Jim from Taxi. I have no idea why he just...
People, I 33 million dollars. It is jaw-dropping. What's her name is right about that. It is jaw-dropping.
It is because it wasn't... It dwarfs all the other settlements, and it was his own personal wealth and income that paid for that settlement. So, you know, the guy is every single time this guy is attacked about any of these things, he always reverses, you know, it's his go-to. His go-to is using his children. My kids are fucking, my children. I have not been with my children. This is a bunch of bullshit. I made it with my children. Children, children, children. You know what, pal? Shut up.
Yeah, you know.
Shut up and go to jail. Where you
born? Really?
Okay. That's enough out of you.
Yeah. I mean, he just it's ridiculous.
It certainly is not going to help his media presence online.
Because didn't he have a case way back about phone sex? He wanted to do phone sex with somebody.
Well, yeah, he's had all kinds of issues with assistants. He had issues with his ex-wife. There's some documentation about him dragging her down the steps by her hair, and you know, abuse and spousal abuse and all kinds of just awful things. Just awful. I may have to sneeze, John. I don't know why. That's it.
Well, the cafe, you know, we try to keep the bugs out of here, but...
I was working all day in the yard yesterday.
You were out in the yard. I got to go out. It's supposed to warm up today. But it's going to be wet. I hate to mow when it's wet.
Yeah, my friend was kind enough to get his refurbished lawn tractor and come up and mow our front yard, which was really nice. But I was I had to go out and these trees that we have. They used to be little shrubs,
right?
But now they have overgrown in our right outside of our garage area by our windows, and I had to cut them back away from the house and away from the windows, so you could actually see outside. So those were all. I spent most of the day trimming those back, and then I used the push mower to cut in lines for him to, because if you don't know somebody's property, you're going to have a hard time negotiating the bumps and the rocks and all that stuff. So I wanted him to have smooth sailing in terms of mowing the grass. So
yeah, sure.
I went out with the push mower and trimmed everything and made sure that was done. And I also got my weed eater just with enough acceleration to cut down all of the ivy that had overgrown on my back fence. I had to cut it down, man, because it was in some sections the fence was like leaning. I'm like, no, I can't afford this. So, sorry, ivy, but you got to go. I managed to get all that done, and then did a couple of things indoors, and now my hip is starting to hurt.
Well, okay, so you've earned a day of.
Well, I don't know, because I said I was supposed. I mean, I may not go over to the shelter this morning. I kind of wanted to, but I don't think I'm in the kind of shape I need to be in to go over there. So I'm gonna kind of. I would rather do the Mustard Cafe and effectively, you know, try to speak my mind. I mean, I think what we're trying to do here, obviously, once people get past the silly name of the show, and it is silly, you have to admit that.
It is, yeah.
But it also makes a very good point.
Yeah, I think we're having fun while we're doing it.
We're trying to,
yeah, man.
This is my outlet, and I borrow from things that I see and hear and read, and I probably shouldn't do that because I don't give enough credit. I am probably what would be defined as a super fan of the Stephanie Miller Show, and I am a super fan of their impressionist, Jim Ward, who is a Emmy Award-winning voiceover actor. And I pay attention to what they're talking about, and they have people on that show that I like-minded people that I completely agree with.
Yeah, right.
In the province of California.
The province, yes.
The soon-to-be independent nation of California.
Oh my God! Yes, I mean, it's just maybe that's where the military buildup is.
Where you know, if you thought locking your camper down onto your truck and just driving to Frederick was bad, wait till you and I have to go to California.
Oh my God! Yes, Jesus. Well, my nephew was headed there, you know, on his way, and when the fires came, I haven't heard about what happened to him. I mean, but
you're kidding me. There's been no word.
Well, I think there must have been, because I haven't heard it, but apparently,
a friend of ours, I told you, was he drove wine trucks.
Right.
He was he started as a driver and became a supervisor and then became a manager and was very, very well liked and well thought of. His and his wife's house burnt down. And
he
saw the fire coming.
Right.
It was, I guess, from what all indications are, it was close to his backyard one second, and then he went to grab everything he could, loaded up in his truck and his small car. They loaded everything, including the animals, and he looked up again, and the fire was right at his back door.
Wow. Maybe it's time to, by the way, I've been, Pope Francis has restarted up the idea of the workers' church, which was a big thing in the 30s in some places where it was a very progressive trade union inspiration for a lot of folks. Yeah. And not everywhere, but in a lot of areas. And then it sort of passed away in the Pope John Paul era, you know, as a...
Right.
I don't know, you know, they got more right-wing or something. Anyway, but Francis is bringing it back, and I mean, I just love that Pope for some of the stuff he's doing, you know, I really do. And
I think that that is, he is probably, I mean, although I disagree with him and the church on some issues, he's probably the best you're going to see for quite some time. You know, because he actually has some interest in science.
Well, that, and also, but he's got some interest in the poor.
By the way, hold on one second. Excuse me, I have to mute you. Hold on.
Mute. I thought that was going to be a mute.
Sorry about that.
That was that was like the camel in the tent there.
Oh, did you hear that? Sorry about that.
No, that's good. We like that. That's a good Moose Turd Cafe noise. We might put that on the jukebox, actually.
Run that on a loop. Say what you think of that.
The sound of Jim Justice croaking. That'd be a good one, you know. The Jim Justice day.
And today's debate is between Jim Justice, who has almost made it to the front door of the auditorium.
Otherwise known as the hefty hunk of steam and junk.
Give them back fat.
You know, we're the cafe is.
By the way, everybody, we're just past the top of the hour here.
We're at our
hour. The Moose Turd Cafe with your host and original fantastic food philosopher, Mr. John Case, and his sometime sidekick,
Mike Dazel,
occasional sociopath, Mr. Mike. I forget his name.
Mike Dazel.
It is October 24th. It is now 8 a.m. Everybody, I hope you're enjoying your Tuesday, everybody.
Yeah, right, man. Come down and have one of our, back end muffins.
Only we have reduced cat urine to as a sauce that apparently Dr. Lecter tells me you got to cook for a really long time.
Right. It's very
diet. Take out all the poisons, and he has added some red onions and some radicchio to this.
So it's very diabetic urine, so it's quite sweet.
I don't know what. I'm so confused.
Don't worry. After breakfast, things are going to be looking up, I promise, okay?
Yes. I feel so much better now. There's no place to go from this point but up, my friend. Up.
Up. Oh, thank you, FDR. Thank you. All right.
All
right, man. Take care, man. Well,
always remember, John. Always remember.
What's
none
that?
Shall pass.
None shall pass. That's right.
I have no quarrel with you, brave Sir Knight. However, 'tis but a scratch.
Tis but a scratch. Okay, let's just get...
I'll bite your kneecaps off.
Let's do that.
Come back here and fight. I'll bite your kneecaps.
All the wounds and injuries and grievances of this world.
Yes.
You guys just consider it a scratch compared to what's coming tomorrow.
Yeah, baby. Yep.
All right.
Thank you, John.
We'll see you at the cafe. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.